Welcome to Knowles Abroad, a podcast by Florida State University International Programs. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Zoe, and we're your hosts. On this podcast, we'll talk about study abroad from the perspective of the students, faculty, staff, and alumni who make it an experience worth sharing. We'll also bring you travel tips and fun facts from around the globe. On this episode, we talked to Dr. Lauren Schoenberger. Lauren used her own experience studying and living abroad to develop her doctoral dissertation titled, Who Am I? The LGBTQ+ Student Experience During Study Abroad. Let's jump to our conversation with Lauren to hear how study abroad can influence sexual identity formation. Hi, how are you doing today, Lauren?
Hey, good morning. How's everyone doing?
Good. So to start us off, can you go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners?
Absolutely. My name is Dr. Lauren Schoenberger. I myself studied abroad in London in 1999. I also was a program assistant after I graduated in London as well. So I have a lot of experience with our London Studies Center. I'm a three-time Florida State graduate. I earned my communications degrees and bachelor's, master's. And then for my doctorate, I really focused on education and how study abroad can impact certain groups of students. Currently, I work at Tallahassee Community College, so right down the road from y'all, as the Director of Integrated Marketing.
Amazing. We're super excited to talk to you today, and we're going to dive in about your dissertation research. So we're going to talk about how study abroad can influence sexual identity formation. And in the beginning of your dissertation, you talk about your own experience studying abroad and how that shaped your life. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your experience?
Absolutely. So as I said, I studied abroad in 1999, so that was a long time ago. And so for me, growing up in the 80s, as part of the LGBTQ+ community, there was not a lot of representation out there. And so I grew up in a very loving family. I grew up in a place that was very safe. But as far as being able to explore my sexual identity, I just didn't feel like I had that option. There weren't really a lot of, TV shows about it like there are today. It wasn't really in the news. And so I felt very alone. Coming to FSU was an amazing experience, but then that study abroad experience took it to the next level because I was, for the first time in my life, able to be whoever I wanted to be, free of any past maybe communities or relationships that I had. And as I said, I grew up in a very loving environment. It had nothing to do with that. It was just, it was the first opportunity for me to actually take a step back and look at myself and who I was, and not be afraid to hide that anymore.
So in your dissertation, you note that all participants express that studying abroad has had a lasting impact on their lives because it contributed to their sexual identity formation. The overall reason for this was that they found a new community where they not only felt loved, but also accepted. So can you talk more about this quote and the stories that you heard while conducting your research interviews?
Yeah, absolutely. The reason I wanted to do my research kind of relates back to my own story and what I just said is that I wondered if students still these days with representation and all the amazing things that we are doing in this world now, allies and safe zones, all those wonderful things that weren't around when I was a student, even in, high school or college, did they still have that same feeling that I had? Did they still have that same experience? And so that's really why I set on this journey to do this research, because I was like, you know what? Maybe we're good. Maybe we've done all we need to do and we're, can move on to something else. But I found that students today still are going through the same things I went through 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago. And what I mean by that is they still feel the same way I felt growing up in safe, loving environments. They had wonderful communities around them, wonderful parents, grandparents, all these wonderful things. But they also felt they could not truly be themselves because of societal norms and just the pressures that come with that. And so the stories that I heard 20 years later were very similar to my own story. And so it really resonated with me that we are doing more than we were in the 90s, but there is still more work to be done for students these days.
To kind of build on that and the experience from high school to college and what students still go through these days, much of student development theory today focuses on self-identity and the changes that students can undergo throughout the college experience. Why do you think college provides this catalyst in the transition from high school to college life?
I mean, college gives you this opportunity to kind of reinvent yourself, I feel. You know, as I said, you do kind of grow up a certain way, whether you realize it or not. You know, if your church, if your family, you know, sends you to church, then that's fine. And that's all you know. If your family has certain political views, that's kind of all you know. You know, you kind of grow up in what your family wants you to be. And I'm not saying that's bad at all. I mean, I had a wonderful childhood. I still have a wonderful life with accepting, you know, family. But I think when you get to college, it's the first opportunity that you have to kind of lay the groundwork for who you really want to be. Also, you know, it's just, I think, a maturity thing as well. You know, as you age and become more comfortable with who you are and what you want, I think leaving high school and heading off to college does provide that opportunity to take a look and self-reflect. And I think that's the most important thing, is if you want to remain the same way as you grew up, fantastic. I think that's a wonderful thing. But it's also important to self-reflect and make sure that the choices that you make from college onward will help shape your life the way that you want it to be.
I think that's such a great point, that college can really open up that space for you to explore who you want to be. But obviously your dissertation focuses more on study abroad, so taking it even a step further. And a lot of your dissertation talks about sort of the anonymity that is found in a large city and how that can help create safe spaces. And I think anyone that's been to a large metropolitan city has likely experienced that anonymity that comes with that. So can you just talk about the importance of anonymity and safe spaces in sexual identity formation and how the study abroad experience can provide that?
Absolutely. So as I said, coming to college is, I think, that first step. But for me and for many of the students that I've spoken to, of course, everyone who actually was in my research, the next step that was needed was that study abroad experience. I think this is for many reasons. First of all, with study abroad, you tend to mostly study abroad in a progressive location. Some of these bigger cities in the world are much further along than we are. You know, for me, London in the 90s was, you know, eye-opening for me to see gay bars. And I was like, I've never seen this before. It just wasn't a thing. And so unless you're in maybe New York City or San Francisco, it can be hard to find cities that are this progressive. But luckily with study abroad, there are many options to select a progressive city. And of course, that means they're friendly and supportive of LGBTQ and of course, other identities that one may want to discover. I also think that, and for me, this is true, and I always, when I used to work and study abroad, would say this to students, I really encourage you to study abroad independently. Don't take your best friend, don't take your boyfriend, don't take your girlfriend, don't take your roommate. If you want to study abroad, you should study abroad on your own. And I say that because that is the true opportunity to free yourself of any past environments that you may have had. And again, these past environments may not be negative. I'm not trying to promote that all your past environments are negative. I'm trying to allow students the opportunity, and I allowed myself the opportunity to really start from scratch. And I know a lot of students want to study abroad with their roommates and their friends, and I understand that, and that is important. However, if you are able and you're willing, I always encourage students to study abroad independently, because even when you come to college, especially for those of us from Florida, there's always a connection back home, whether it's the senior whose mom is best friends with your mom in the, you know, in the bunko club or whatever the case may be. There's always a connection that you have, you know, in college. You could always find something, you know, it's like the Kevin Bacon rule. You can always find someone connected. But when you study abroad, that's not true, especially if you go independently. So I think that the study abroad can actually take it to that next level, where you can study in a progressive environment that are already friendly and supportive and open. You can find communities there that accept you. You can start from scratch and kind of reinvent yourself even further than you did when you came to college as a freshman. And then, of course, the thing that it did most for me and even the participants in my study is it gives you confidence. I'm not saying that I studied abroad and the next day I was like, guess what? I'm going to be able to come out to everybody. That's definitely not the way it works. However, you start to gain confidence, realize who you are, who you want to be, and what's going to be the best for you as a person. And that confidence starts to build up over time. And that really started, when you had that opportunity to study abroad. And that's not just for self-identity. I think study abroad in general, whoever you are, helps provide confidence for everything. When you can figure out how to get out of Rome at 3 a.m. without a train ticket, you know, you build confidence. And so I think that's, you know, kind of in a nutshell, how study abroad takes it to that next level.
I think to your point about studying abroad without friends, or if you don't know anyone, I know a lot of students express that nervousness about going alone. And I think it's kind of one of those things that, like, you don't know what you don't know. And sometimes it can be a little scary heading into a situation that you don't know what to expect. But it can be one of those things where you're just so grateful for everything you learned, even though you weren't quite sure what to expect. So I think that's such great advice for people. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
So on to our next question. How can the findings of your research shed light on how educators and study abroad providers can support students in the LGBTQ+ community?
You know, one thing I was proud of when I worked at FSU International Programs was that FSU was able to take all the Allies and Safe Zones programs overseas. And so first and foremost, I think it's important that students understand that all of our staff are overseas, are trained, you know, to be welcoming and to be, accepting. They've gone through the Allies and Safe Zones training, and knowing the staff that I know that work for FSU International Programs, they're all wonderful people who will do anything, you know, to help a student regardless. And so, you know, I really think that the biggest takeaway for me is that I think, especially in higher education, we think, oh, we've done so much for this community. And I think we're done, right? You know, I mean, we got a lot of other things on our plate, so we need to move forward. But I think that we still have to take the time to understand our students and their experiences and their journeys, because we may think they're in a place and they're not quite there yet, which also means we need to stay up to date on LGBTQ+ issues. It is an ever-changing field, which is fantastic, but we need to make it a priority and stay up to date of how we can help our students as things change. And the representation that's out there today, and even that's, you know, in college environments and higher education, is fantastic, but we can't just say we've done it and we're good and, you know, rest on that and move forward. We've got to keep building upon the knowledge that we have. We have to keep creating environments that have positive relationships that yield trust with our students and, you know, their faculty and their staff and their program, you know, providers and all of those things. And so I just think the most important thing is that as educators, we make sure we don't get complacent and think we've done enough. And we're moving on to the next thing. So I think that's the most important thing, because even myself, as part of the community, thought, oh, I'm sure students these days don't feel the way I did in the 90s, but they certainly do. And so that was probably the most eye-opening thing for me in my research, is to see that there's still a lot of work to be done.
I love that point about, you know, that there's still more to be done. How can we help students and not getting complacent in that, but really progressing and continuing to support students and have that representation as well. In your dissertation, you noted, quote, how eager all the participants were to tell their stories and finally be heard. Therefore, it's important to provide an outlet for members of marginalized communities to share their experiences through research, end quote. Do you see ways that your research could be expanded to support other areas of identity formation or other marginalized identities?
Absolutely. I think the bottom line is visibility, right? I think students want to be heard. And so I don't think that matters what group you belong to. I think everyone wants a place. And so, of course, that can be extended. And, you know, you can reach out and allow students to have a platform. I know that y'all do a great job with the blog, providing spaces for students to, you know, tell their stories. But I think that's it really comes down to visibility. Because you want to know that there's other students going through what you're going through. And I think that's the bottom line. I think that's life, truthfully. I think we all want to know there's people that go through what we go through, and we're not alone. And so I think really visibility probably would be the most important thing for any identity, is that they have a place they can connect, they can get plugged in. Faculty, staff, directors, whomever are trained and understand the different identities that are out there that students might connect with.
Thanks for that shout out to the blog. Same name, Knowles Abroad. If you are interested in writing for the blog and want to share your story, if you have something you want to say or something you want to share with students, it's an awesome platform. We would love to hear your story. But back to the interview. Our last question for you, as someone who studied abroad, was a PA, worked in study abroad, has lived in multiple places abroad, what's your advice for students who are considering study abroad? What would you say to someone?
You know, I think truthfully, it's plan ahead and do your research. I know we're talking about research today, and so I'll bring it back around. But it's truthfully about being prepared. I am a Girl Scout. That is our motto, be prepared. And so I think that's really my advice. You know, if you even think 1% of you wants to study abroad, then look into it. Look into it now. Do your research. I know that FSU International Programs, you know, has a lot of wonderful resources, such as advisors, financial aid, folks that can help. And I think the whole point is just to plan ahead and really be prepared, because study abroad does take a lot of planning. It's not one of those decisions that can happen overnight. And when you are prepared, you're more likely to get things such as scholarships and, you know, things along those lines that can help your journey become even easier. I know that there can be a lot of barriers to study abroad, but by researching and planning ahead, I think you can help mitigate a lot of those. So that would pretty much be my advice, is to plan ahead. Be a Girl Scout. Be prepared.
As a fellow Girl Scout, I really appreciate that advice. It's always good to be overprepared. But that's also just awesome advice for students about those barriers, that we do know that there are barriers to study abroad, or there could be perceived barriers. But we can't help you unless you tell us what those barriers are for you. So please just contact our office. Let us know how we can help you. Even if you don't know the questions to ask, just come and sit down and we'll start asking the questions to figure out how we can help you best. Dr. Schoenberger, thank you so, so much for your time this morning and sharing your research and sharing your story. We really appreciate it, and we can't wait for folks to listen to this episode.
It was my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me. And as always, go Knowles!
Before we disembark, we want to talk about IP's diversity and inclusion resources. As we heard from Dr. Schoenberger, study abroad is a great time to explore your identities and form new communities. International Programs wants to help folks navigate all aspects of the study abroad experience. The Diversity and Inclusion Committee has developed various resources for identity exploration to assist on this journey.
These resources can be found under the Diversity and Inclusion tab on the IP website at international.fsu.edu. One resource the D&I team has created is the Mapping Your Identities Guide, which can assist people going abroad as they explore their identities before and during their time overseas, as well as help them understand the identities of others. On this webpage, you can also check out the projects and plans the Diversity and Inclusion team is working on, various links to articles and podcasts featuring student voices, and how to contact the team.
Thanks again to Dr. Lauren Schoenberger for talking with us today, and to each of you for listening.
This podcast is a production of FSU International Programs. The music for this podcast was composed by John Bartman. Our logo was designed by Vanessa Gire, who also does our sound engineering. Editing, transcription, and research is done by us, Hannah Meister and Zoe Crook.